Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Poland says Russian drones entered its airspace and were shut down overnight with help from NATO allies, Poland describing the incident as an act of aggression. Qatar says Israel's strike on Hamas headquarters in Doha was a flagrant violation of international laws. Israel called the strike entirely justified following that deadly bus stop shooting in Jerusalem. Hamas claims no top-level leaders were killed. President Trump asked about the attack, saying he was disappointed.
President Trump was also asked about his ties to sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The president denies he wrote and signed a lewd note with a drawing of a woman's body for Epstein's birthday book back in 2003. Trump last night speaking about the note for the first time since lawmakers released it. He calls it a forgery. When asked if he's willing to meet with Epstein survivors, Trump said he hasn't even thought about that.
ABC's Perry Russum. South Korean media says a chartered plane has left the U.S., returning Korean workers detained last week. This is ABC News.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of The Office should probably know by now there is a spinoff of the show called The Paper. The show dropped last week and is shot in the same mockumentary style as The Office was. The pilot of the show lacked some of that natural quirkiness that The Office had. There were a few laughs, but I don't see the show going that far without a Steve Carell or Rainn Wilson. If you're interested to see for yourself, check out The Paper on Peacock. The highly awaited Task has dropped on HBO. Series creator and showrunner Brad Inglesby is also the creative force behind the critically acclaimed Mayor from Easttown. Heading up the cast is Mark Ruffalo, who is joined by Tom Pelfrey, Amelia Jones, and nightlight pal Jamie McShane. The show follows a task force led by Ruffalo that is trying to stop a series of home robberies. I watched the pilot, which aired last weekend, and really dug it. Unfortunately, we only get one episode a week from HBO. New episodes drop at 9 p.m. Sunday nights. Definitely worth a look, and if you haven't seen it yet, check out Mayor from Easttown with Kate Winslet. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last Sunday's game between the Packers and Lions drew 24 million viewers, the most watched week one game on CBS in 28 years. Tomorrow night, they host the Washington Commanders. Green Bay defensive end Micah Parsons has had some of his best games against Washington during his time with the Cowboys.
I don't know, just the strategy, coaching, understand who you're playing against. They're just an explosive team, starting with that quarterback, and it just means a lot more. You got get to him.
The Packers could be without right tackle Zach Tom and left guard Aaron Banks, both dealing with injuries. There'll be game time decisions. And the team signing Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million, even though he's still rehabbing a torn ACL. College football. The Badgers will play at Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Game time 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill likely to start at quarterback again. Women's volleyball. The Badgers beating the UWM Panthers last night. 3-0 in straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former ambassador and former White House ethics czar, Norm Eisen. We discuss why the Epstein files matter more broadly for government accountability.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some dense fog expected through about mid-morning. Then you can expect a mix of clouds and sun with high temperatures in the lower 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. A beautiful day on Thursday, plenty of sunshine with a high of 76. It's 58 at our studios.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women don't need to vote as long as they have a husband, apparently. Andrew Watkins breaks down the church that says this and the politicians who are influenced by it. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Oh, it is an undeniable part of conversation in Wisconsin these days. Wow, what mild temperatures in September. Yes, you're right. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, those mild temperatures are going to continue through today, but then more summer-like temperatures on the horizon. We'll talk about it with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, in just a little bit, but the forecast in front of me calling for some isolated showers possible this morning until about 3 p.m. this afternoon. Only about a 20% chance of precipitation, so chances are you'll be able to get some outdoor things done anyhow. Daytime highs today, after that, 75 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine 79. Friday, sunshine 83. Saturday, sunshine back up to 87 degrees. So see, there is some light on the horizon when it comes to this forecast. But our latest crop progress report will tell you what Wisconsin farmers have gotten done for the corn harvest, the potato harvest. There are some crops in Wisconsin that are very stressed out about this weather. We are going to take a look at some Wisconsin grape growers that worry their sugar levels on their grapes have plateaued. That's a problem. And I'm stepping up and chatting with Ashley Hewn from the Steffes Group to boot on a Wednesday.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop.
There's a buzz on the field tonight. The dairy farming crowd is demanding Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
These fans know that growing Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help farmers reduce ration costs while increasing milk fat content.
The cream of the crop rises to the top.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
As we learn here on the Midwest Farm Report, agriculture plays a part in everything we do. Recently, though, I was surprised to learn that agriculture even has a role in tattoo art. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and we're catching up with Graham Casilius. He joins us from his 34-acre farm named Castle Hollow Farm in Vernon County. When he bought the farm more than a decade ago, he inherited about 3,500 hazelnut trees. It took a few years for him to decide that it was time to start making something with those hazelnuts, and it took him into a niche market of helping people maintain their fresh ink. But it wasn't easy. Growing a unique and relatively new specialty crop in Wisconsin comes with challenges.
We kind of practiced and learned how to harvest and gone through some of those things, some of the growing pains of a small farm, especially a regenerative farm with a unique product. You can't go to the dealership and buy a hazelnut harvester, at least not in the Midwest. So we had to learn a lot and kind of cut our teeth on these established trees. Most people, when they get into agroforestry, have the benefit of putting in beautiful little seedlings, and they get to dream for a few years about what it'll be like come harvest time. We bought the farm and they were ready to go. We had big, mature, fully productive plants. And so we jumped right into that production side of things.
And Graham, people may be surprised to know, yes, hazelnuts do grow in Wisconsin, and there's actually a network of people who are trying to promote growing hazelnuts. Can you tell me the extension resources you were able to reach out to?
So there's been work done a few different generations of rogue hazelnut growers over the years. There was a farmer in River Falls in the, I think, 20s or 30s. And then that work kind of got lost for a little while and was picked up by a guy, Phil Rutter, in southern Minnesota, and then Mark Shepard in Viola, Wisconsin. So there's been a few, like I said, rogue farmers who have carried the torch. But in the last 10 to 15 years, we've had a little bit bigger push from the UW system. They helped between the UW and the U of M. They developed the Upper Midwest Hazelnut Development Initiative, which is a long name for a small group that is working hard to create a hazelnut industry here in the Midwest. The American hazelnut grows native, especially across northern Wisconsin, but it's a very small bush with very small nuts, but it's crazy hardy. It'll survive wildfires and blizzards and all these things, and it'll grow for up to 100 years out in the wild with no care at all, but the nuts are kind of small and intermittent yield. So what this group is doing is trying to cross the European hazelnut, which is popular. If you've ever eaten an American-grown hazelnut, it's probably from a small area in Oregon. But those plants, they're bigger and they're more established. They can't survive our bitter winters. So we need a hardy Midwestern version of the hazelnut plant. And that's what they've been working on for that 15-plus years. So I'm able to go to their conferences, and there's a couple different networks to share information and to share ideas. And so that helps a lot. We're definitely not going at this alone.
So why don't you tell us about the markets that you're able to sell into? Where do we typically see Wisconsin hazelnuts winding up? And maybe you have your own niche area.
There's a group that has started creating Midwest hazelnut food products. They started out with pressing the edible oils and making a hazelnut flour. And now they've developed into hazelnut snackers. And then their new snack food is Midwest Munch. That's the American Hazelnut Company. So they're established, actually based out of Viroqua, which is close to me. We've gone a different route on our farm. We looked at the small amount of available Midwest hazelnuts. I think it's a scarce product. And when we look at economics and sales, well, that should be pretty valuable then. If there's not a lot of it available, we should treat it as if it's a special product. So we've gone into the skincare and the personal care products. The market for skincare oil is a lot higher. That's what we tried to focus in. We've got such a small supply, we want it to go to the best customer that's going to get the most out of it. 2023, we came out and it's just a pure filtered hazelnut oil skincare. We put it in little dropper bottles and we started selling that online. We did a handful of vendor fairs in the area just to get out there and try to get as many people to try it out as we can, because it's a little bit new. People aren't accustomed to hazelnut products, definitely not Midwest hazelnut products. And even the idea of using oil-based skincare products is very popular right now, but not always well known across the Midwest. We didn't want to focus just on problem areas like, oh, I've got these wrinkles, or I don't want to look older. We want to have a product that people are really excited to use. So we're focusing on beard oils and tattoo maintenance, because those are things that people have chosen to express themselves. So if we can be the product that helps your tattoo stay vibrant and bold for longer and help it look its best, that's a lot more fun than you put it on because you're looking in the mirror and disappointed with what you see. We want to be on that positive end of things. So those are our big flagship projects right now, is the tattoo maintenance oil. And we have three different scents of beard oil.
It's actually taken you to the Madison Tattoo Festival this fall. So tell us, where can we find you, and what can we expect to see with your presence?
We've done two of these tattoo shows so far this summer, so it's been a big focus. No family vacations, no water parks. We're doing tattoo festivals. The Madison show is coming up, and they've had it for a few years, so that's really exciting. There's going to be some repeat business. There's some people who have been looking forward to this all year because they had such a good time last fall, but that's at the Alliant Energy Center on September 12th to the 14th. 3 days, they'll have 200-plus artists there, and it was surprising. The first tattoo festival that we went to, we thought it'd be more like a vendor fair where there's lots of people selling stuff and people with tattoos would come in and go shopping. This is people looking for tattoos. They have an appointment with an artist that maybe flew in from out of state, came from across the country. They've been looking forward to getting work done by this specific artist for months. Maybe they've had it scheduled that long. And some of them are doing 3-day tattoos. They come in and they start work on Friday and they hopefully finish it up by Sunday afternoon. These are some big, impressive pieces. So artwork is just absolutely unbelievable. There are plenty of other vendors, though, that are selling tattoo-related items. So pretty exciting. They've opened us Midwestern nut farmers with open arms. It's a pretty fun group to get to work with, and we're really looking forward to it.
Well, yeah, and most importantly, after that artwork is printed, then you're right there to make sure that it stays vibrant for years to come.
We look to use the tattoo oil from about day 5 through decade 5. You talk with your artist, and they're going to give you, here are your really strict rules. You got to keep it clean, got to keep it dry. So they'll tell you what to do for the first few days. But at about day 5, once that skin has kind of dried out, that's where the oil comes in, and you can use it daily forever. Our tagline this year is fresh till death. Kind of encompasses how long we want you committed to keeping that tattoo looking absolutely fresh.
From seed to sleeve, that's the story of how a Wisconsin hazelnut grower is entering a niche market of tattoo care with valuable skin oils. Graham Caselius, along with us from Castle Hollow Farm in Vernon County, he'll be at the Madison Tattoo Festival this weekend, making sure that body art stays fresh till death. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. National Voter Registration Day is coming up on September 16th, with nationwide events to encourage eligible voters to register and check their registration. With no national election as incentive this year, organizers point to local and special elections and a readiness to vote in the 2026 midterms as reasons to consider registering or reviewing registration status. The U.S. Census estimates 174 million Americans were registered to vote in 2024 out of an eligible voting age population of 236 million citizens. Pew Research found 18% of non-voters cited not being registered as a major reason for not voting. For those who are registered, changes in election law, such as more frequent purges of inactive voter registrations and lack of citizenship documents on file, could potentially make millions of Americans ineligible prior to the 2026 midterms. Many states offer online tools to check registration status. National Voter Registration Day's organizers said in a statement that over 1,700 community partners and 3,500 local organizations will participate this year, including municipalities, schools, and support agencies. More information for interested community partners is available at nationalvoterregistrationday.org. We have links to the site and our past series on why more Americans don't vote at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Heather Heil of the Green Bay Children's Museum takes the John Candy quiz. Then I'm joined by Ethan Ogilvy, writer of the new rom-com, The Threesome, which is just hitting theaters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for matinee on air.
Too much rain to be outside, maybe a sweatshirt or that. We're talking later this hour about how it's impacting crops, but as far as outdoor activities for people, this ain't bad.
No, very comfortable, not bad for livestock either. I've seen a bunch of dairy cattle just enjoying the sun in the afternoon here lately.
Yeah, no kidding, all of us. So let's talk a little bit about what we've got coming up. The forecast says a snivel of a chance of rain possible this morning till about 3. What do you see?
Yeah, that's about it. There's a little band of rainfall in Wisconsin this morning. It extends all the way from up around Iron Mountain, Escanaba, back on through Wausau and down into the southwest part of the state. It's already through La Crosse. La Crosse reporting 2,600 of an inch. I see Park Falls at 7,700 some an inch, including some from yesterday. Hayward only 1,200 some an inch. And elsewhere in central Wisconsin, Mauston 500s, Eau Claire 300s, just not a lot of rain. But some of that little scattered shower activity will progress further east and southeast through the day. Western Wisconsin about done. There's a dense fog advisory this morning. Wausau to Hayward till about 8. Very foggy in that part of the state. We may all share in some of that fog later tonight or into Thursday morning. But I expect that we start to dry out after a small chance of rain here today. Not the greatest if you cut hay, but unfortunately there is just a little rain out there. Otherwise, it does dry out for us on toward Thursday and Friday. Late Friday night, early Saturday, a small chance for very light rain. An upper-level system out in the west coast this morning will try to push further east. Could bring just a bit of a rain chance around late Friday night or into Saturday. Otherwise, that's about the extent of precipitation talk, and temperatures will be warming up. In fact, we start pushing to above normal levels already tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. A lot of us will have 80s by Saturday, some already on Friday. It is going to warm up here as we head toward the weekend, so enjoy the comfortable, maybe sweatshirt weather, if you will, yet today. Things get warmer and it feels more summery as we head right on toward the upcoming weekend. There will be another possibility of some rain as we head on into next week. Doesn't look like a major system trying to build in, but every now and again, a little shower or thunderstorm chance could pop up. I'll have forecast details right after this.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For over 125 years, Purina has been driven to unlock the greatest potential of every animal. Middleton Farmers Cooperative announces the launch of Purina Animal Feeds and Supplements with an in-store celebration of Purina sales, giveaways, and important information for you to help your animals live a healthy life. Register to win Purina Laena 16% layer pellets, plus buy any two Purina bags and get the third half off at Middleton Farmers Co-op.
We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop.
There's a buzz on the field tonight. The dairy farming crowd is demanding Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. These fans know that growing Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help farmers reduce ration costs while increasing milk fat content.
The cream of the crop rises to the top.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
Time for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Go for it, Stu. What can we kind of juggle through today? It sounds like it depends where you are.
It really does. In the Northwest, that dense fog advisory this morning, some clouds there, more cloudy skies the further you are east and south, and of course, a little scattered shower. Scattered, that's it. Isolated pop-up hit-or-miss showers around for a time today. I'd expect later on the temperatures sound all right. Very upper 60s in the far northwest to mid-70s in the south. The wind's becoming south today at about 5. Overnight, some clouds, could be some fog west and north. I expect we fall into the low and mid-50s with a light east breeze. Maybe a little fog early tomorrow. More sunny skies around. Everybody in the 70s on Thursday. Low 70s north, upper 70s south. And Friday, more sunshine. A lot of upper 70s and even low 80s to be seen around the state with south breezes. Late Friday night, early Saturday, Pam, a little chance of a shower or storm. And then warmer for the weekend.
All right. Something to keep an eye on. The warmer for the weekend thing is kind of welcomed by a lot of people by now. You know, it's not that we didn't enjoy what we've got, but I think some of us start wondering if, you know, like the next shoe drops and like pretty quick you're telling freeze.
Don't be such a pessimist. It's not going to happen that way.
Now, listen, we are both Wisconsin natives. You know this is part of our DNA. You just know this is the way it is.
I know it.
All right, buddy, enjoy it. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
You bet. See ya.
Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Find out about everything that they offer you. Go to their website, compure.com. Now, you stick around. Coming up, grape growers in Wisconsin, how they are trying to juggle this cooler than expected weather and saving sheep. Yeah, Ben Jarboe's got that story on the way, too.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent segment of the Maggie Dawn Show about a proposed bill that would affect local farmers.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm joined this half hour by Senator Brad Pfaff of the 32nd State Senate District. He has introduced three key pieces of legislation this cycle to help support Wisconsin farmers and families. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the bills that you've introduced this year. I want to start with the most recent one because it's so incredibly important in light of what's going on federally. It is the Agricultural Purchase Program. Tell folks a little bit about it.
I did introduce legislation that, again, links consumers with our family farmers. It recognizes that this piece of legislation that was jammed through Congress last week is going to have an impact, and I would say a negative impact, on too many individuals that, through no fault of their own, are seeking food assistance at different times in their life. And so what this piece of legislation does is very simple. It provides grants to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. And then the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture would work with local food organizations in order to provide financial assistance. And those local food organizations then would contract directly with local farmers to receive the bring in the food that they seek. May it be meats, may it be milk, may it be cheeses, may it be maple syrup, whatever it may be. And so, again, it is trying to broaden out the supply chain as far as with agriculture, and at the same time, it's linking family farmers with consumers. And I think that is so very important. And what it's also doing is it recognizes during when there are challenges and dips in the marketplace and people are down on their luck, that we're just not throwing people to the street. We're recognizing the fact in a wealthy nation and a state like Wisconsin that grows food, we want to make sure that we can feed our neighbors.
People, because we have been rightly focused on the big brutal bill, as well as the state's biennial budget, people forget that one of the first things that Donald Trump did was cut all kinds of aid programs willy-nilly through executive orders, and it ended up immediately hurting Wisconsin farmers because we literally had food rotting in storage houses, not getting to the people that need the food. This most recent bill is called the Agricultural Purchase Program. It's a bill to establish a $30 million fund within the Department of Agriculture, again, to make sure that families in need of emergency food assistance in the state get it, and that they get that food assistance from our family farms.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Poland says Russian drones entered its airspace and were shut down overnight with help from NATO allies, Poland describing the incident as an act of aggression. Qatar says Israel's strike on Hamas headquarters in Doha was a flagrant violation of international laws. Israel called the strike entirely justified following that deadly bus stop shooting in Jerusalem. Hamas claims no top-level leaders were killed. President Trump asked about the attack, saying he was disappointed.
President Trump was also asked about his ties to sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The president denies he wrote and signed a lewd note with a drawing of a woman's body for Epstein's birthday book back in 2003. Trump last night speaking about the note for the first time since lawmakers released it. He calls it a forgery. When asked if he's willing to meet with Epstein's survivors, Trump said he hasn't even thought about that.
ABC's Perry Russum. South Korean media says a chartered plane has left the U.S., returning Korean workers detained last week. This is ABC News.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last Sunday's game between the Packers and Lions drew 24 million viewers, the most watched week one game on CBS in 28 years. Tomorrow night, they host the Washington Commanders. Green Bay defensive end Micah Parsons has had some of his best games against Washington during his time with the Cowboys.
I don't know, just the strategy, coaching, understand who you're playing against. They're just an explosive team, starting with that quarterback, and it just means a lot more. You got to get to them.
The Packers could be without right tackle Zach Tom and left guard Aaron Banks, both dealing with injuries. There'll be game-time decisions. And the team signing Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million, even though he's still rehabbing a torn ACL. College football, the Badgers will play at Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Game time, 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill likely to start at quarterback again. Women's volleyball, the Badgers beating the UWM Panthers last night. 3-0 in straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Wisconsin has a new candidate for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He'll join the program at 3:35, and we'll kick around politics with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some dense fog expected through about mid-morning. Then you can expect a mix of clouds and sun with high temperatures in the lower 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. A beautiful day on Thursday, plenty of sunshine with a high of 76. It's 58 at our studios.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday.
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all that.
Well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of the Todd Albaugh Show, where he's joined by James Small.
Happy and proud and honored to have James Small, the Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager at the UW School of Medicine and Rural Health. James, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me on today.
Let's talk a little bit about this workforce more, because you're much more, obviously much more versed in this than I am. I know a few years back, a good friend of mine, Troy Everson, which was integral in the Viroqua and Vernon County EMS and EMT system. He now does that down in Burlington, Wisconsin. And I know he helped get through a piece of legislation years ago where high school students that were taking courses to be volunteers were allowed to actually help and actually do some of the stuff as long as they were with a licensed person on the team. And that really opened up and not just created more workforce, but also was almost like an apprentice type of training. Have you seen that have an effect?
Yes. You're seeing in a number of different regions around the state, the technical colleges are running what they call a dual enrollment program, where high school seniors will come in and learn a trade. And one of those programs might be fire and EMS. There's been a high demand for that. I've seen the technical college systems be very successful with that. There's also some high schools that have partnered with other training centers to offer EMT training right in the schools.
Wow.
And La Follette School of Public Policy just did an EMS-related report that came out in the last couple of weeks, and one of their key recommendations was expansion of the high school EMS programs to provide somebody access to a workforce. Because those kids that are going through those programs right now are going to find a job pretty quickly after coming out of it.
And good paying with good benefits generally.
Yes. Yep. This is going to be a job that probably has a living wage with good benefits working for a government right out of high school, potentially in some cases.
Yeah.
And then continue on with further training like paramedic training and so on. But it's I think that's one tool that we need to look at. But just access to training in general. you know, when we did our ambulance reliability study a couple of years ago, one of the things that we found is about 13% of the services had an hour or more drive to a training center. Well, that's a huge barrier. If you're depending on volunteers to come in and they're going to work their regular job all day, drive an hour to training, spend 4 hours in training, drive an hour home, and then go back to their job the next day, their real job, and then they're going to do that 50 times. And that's a lot to ask of somebody who wants to come in and volunteer. So finding other access points is going to be, or alternative ways to delivering that training is something we need to do.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Or pros.
You know, in Wisconsin agriculture, it's always the story of the haves and the have-nots, and usually it revolves around weather. The latest crop progress report shows that some of our crops are advancing, others kind of plateauing because of the cooler than expected September temperatures. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. That's the way we talk here on the show. Yeah, the haves and the have-nots. Right now, it looks like the haves are our potato crop. The have-nots, for example, are Wisconsin grape growers, our vineyards. They're really struggling with these cooler temperatures at a key time. Going to share a story with one vineyard out of New Glarus, how they're handling things, at least right now. Stick around for that. I'm so glad you're with us on this, the 10th day of September. A couple little tidbits for you this morning. On this day back in 1846, did you know the patent for the sewing machine was finally awarded, all the way back on this day back in 1846? Happy anniversary to a station that I grew up with as a kid on the farm in Abrams, 1954, WLUK-TV, Channel 11 in Green Bay, started broadcasting. Congratulations and happy anniversary. And now you know, it's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. Say it with me, STEFFES Group.com. The Steffes Group, available with that fantastic website where you can search for any item you are interested in and keep track of it. Or if you say, well, maybe now is the time for us to either inquire about something I saw online, or maybe it's time to start thinking about an auction of your own. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609, because they still do it the old-fashioned way. They'll come out, they'll meet with you, they want to talk to you over your kitchen table and make sure that you have eyes wide open on the opportunities working with the Steffes Group. Ashley Hewn's along with us from the Steffes Group, and this is that time of the year, Ashley, where we do start thinking a little bit about the harvest, what's going on as far as available equipment, and maybe, as we talked about kind of last week, maybe it's what's going to happen after the harvest, right?
Yeah, really. I mean, we're going to have a lot of nice farm retirements after harvest. This is that time of the year where the guys are actually bringing their stuff out of the sheds. We're starting to get still summer pitchers with green grass for our December auctions just before they hit the field, and then we'll come back and clean it up and get the new hours once they're done harvesting. But, you know, those guys are really planning ahead, and this is that time of year where, well, if you're thinking about something before harvest or even during harvest, don't sit on it and think about it. Give us a call right away so we can start the process.
Yeah, you make a good point. Let's face it, folks, that equipment shows a lot better with bright sunshine and green grass under it versus nestled up against a snowbank when everything is bleak. Tell me a little bit about how the process gets started, Ashley. If a guy's already sitting in a semi-cab or sitting in a chopper or sitting in a truck, something like that, how can this explain the process, at least the way the Steffes Group works?
Sure. So if it's like 11 o'clock at night and you're on our website and you want to send us a message, there is a contact us on there. Of course, we'll answer you the next day. But, you know, it really does start with that phone call. And then we will talk over the phone, kind of talk about what your goals and kind of what you're seeing in the future in the next couple of months. Maybe we got to move faster than that. Maybe you need an appraisal right away, or you're buying some land, something like that. We're always leaving ourselves open so we can help our clients with that. If they need something right away, we're going to get it to them. So, but then, you know, the process from there is pretty simple. Come out to the farm, take a look around, give you advice on what we can and can't do, timing, pricing, all that stuff. It really starts at the kitchen table.
How much does that cost me for that service right there, Ashley?
Boy, we don't charge for that. Maybe we should someday, but today it's free.
You want to see some of those results. They are transparent about that. Jump online, stephisgroup.com, and take a look at their latest updates as far as equipment, prices, what have been some of their best sales. Have that conversation when you visit with one of their staff. More importantly, as Ashley said, start by making a call. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Or if you prefer, send them an email. You'll find that address and contact information on the stephisgroup.com website. STEFFESgroup.com. Ashley Hewitt along with us from the Stephis Group.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, you should feel very welcome. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke speaking from experience. The retail location on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg has that feel. You'll notice it on their website, BavariaSausage.com, and you'll see it on their posts on Facebook. Bavaria Sausage not only features their old world flavors, their recipes, their combinations, and all the food that they make, but they also highlight real Wisconsin products in their recipes, in their store, flavors from syrups to mustards to treats, all with Wisconsin stories that they love to share. When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, it's not just about their story, it's about Wisconsin food stories. Check it out. Shop online anytime, BavariaSausage.com. Follow them on Facebook for their latest menu updates or visit corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
We want milk there. We want milk there.
There's a full house in the stands tonight, and it sounds like they're demanding higher milk fat and lower feed costs.
These fans know that growing Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help producers increase milk fat production without increasing feed costs.
For dairy farmers, it's Plenish soybeans for the winning return on investment.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I remind you again, our talk text line is open for you. Would love to hear your weather conversations. Also, let me know if the harvest has begun in your neck of the woods. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I'll tell you what, Wisconsin harvest is definitely underway, at least as far as some crops. And these cooler temperatures in September are treating some better than others. Our Wisconsin potatoes, for example, are loving this weather. 40% of that crop has already been dug. Now, remember, Wisconsin potato growers, they kind of dig those potatoes as the market calls for them right now. So fresh market potatoes come first, but they'll let those potatoes stay in the ground as long as the weather is friendly. Right now, this cooler, drier weather, very friendly for potatoes. Remember, the potatoes that they're growing now will ultimately be the potatoes that you enjoy on your table by June, even July of next year. So our potato growers being very calculated and careful on how their harvest goes. They still rate their crop 89% good to excellent, one of the best they've seen. Now, our corn growers, they are coming along as well. 54% of our corn is dented. That's a sign of maturity. Right now, 82% of the crop's called good to excellent. That's up a percentage point compared to last week. 10% of our corn has already been chopped off for silage. So silage is essentially taking the whole corn plant, chopping it up like a salad for our milk cows. 96% of the soybean crop has pods on it, but our soybeans not handling this cooler weather as well. This week, growers say 81% of that crop is good to excellent. That's 3 percentage points less than last week. Early on a Wednesday morning, December corn's down a penny at 419. March corn down a half at 437. Currently, November soybeans are down 3.5 at 1028. The December wheat is up a penny right now at 521. July new crop up a penny and a half, 560 a bushel. Dairy lost ground yesterday. The barrel cheese was down 2 at 168. 40-pound block cheese dropped 3 at 166.5. Double A butter on Tuesday down 2. $2.50 per pound. Now the fluid milk contracts that go into cheese. October milk up a penny at $16.93. November milk up $4, $16.99 a hundredweight. As I mentioned, not all crops are happy about the way this weather is treating them. We're going to share one story about a Wisconsin grape grower that's concerned about how 2025 is going to end for their crop. Stick around for that. That's the story next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you looking for ways to give back to your local community? Use VolunteerWisconsin.org to find opportunities to volunteer your time with organizations making a difference near you. As we celebrate United Ways Month, we're also celebrating you. Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center to find out more about local opportunities to get involved. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin, paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, helping taxpayers understand just how much the private school voucher scheme is taking out of our wallets and our hometown schools.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Now, like I said, Wisconsin agriculture is focused in on this weather. The cooler temperatures in September, some areas of the state haven't seen these kind of cool temperatures for 50 years. Now, that's going to impact our crops. You heard our latest crop progress report. Some crops are very concerned about the lack of heat. One of those is a group that Stephanie Hoff had a chance to visit with. Amy Aragoni is the vineyard manager at Bailey's Run Vineyard in New Glarus. They've got about 6 acres of grapes and about 3,000 vines that they are trying to manage. Now, she says there's some good and there's some bad about these cooler September temperatures. First of all, she says some of their grapes were ready to go and got picked early, but she says these temperature swings and cooler temperatures are flatlining their sugar levels.
Yeah, we're not happy about it at all. We have 5 varieties that we grow. We have one variety, Edelweiss, that ripens usually in August, really early every year. The other 4, we still need September heat to ripen that fruit. So we're in the phase right now where we're taking sugar readings pretty often. And my sugars are just sitting. they're not moving up at all because I just don't have the heat right now.
Yeah, you can hear the frustration in her voice. Amy Aragone, she is the vineyard manager at Bailey's Run Vineyards in New Glare. She says, it feels like they're playing a game. Every year, she says, right now, it's a judgment call trying to figure out what grapes get harvested, what days, and what grapes they leave on the vines. But the catch is, leaving those grapes on the vines provide additional risk they've got to manage through.
We want sugars to be coming up. We want pH, acidity essentially, to be coming down. And we want to do that while the fruit is still healthy enough to hang. So we're playing a little game because now we start bees, we start birds, we start all the things that are going to take your fruit quality down a little bit. The quicker our ripening, the less we have to deal with injury to the fruit, fruit getting, starting to split, birds starting to take it, all of that kind of stuff. So in a typical year, you're going to have to make a judgment call, you know, okay, this is the best ripeness, this is the best pH I'm going to get while my fruit is still healthy, essentially.
Thank you, Amy Aragone, down at Bailey's Run Vineyard in New Glarus. Coming up next, Ben Jarbo with an interesting story about protecting sheep, not sheep individuals, sheep breeds. That's on the way.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the seed pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel seed pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
Shave them to save them. Now, this phrase isn't talking about beards and mustaches, but rather a program run by the Livestock Conservancy aimed to save our sheep. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and at the recent Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival, I was able to have a chat with Jeanette Berenger, the Senior Program Manager for the Livestock Conservancy, to find out more about how this program works and an update on how Shaving to Save Them has helped farmers since it first started 7 years ago.
Yeah, the Shaving to Save Them program is a project by the Livestock Conservancy. We're a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to conserving endangered breeds of livestock and poultry. And among the livestock species we work with are sheep. And about 7 years ago, we realized that we needed to do more to help support our sheep farmers, and in particular, finding ways to make their wool profitable. And a lot of our breeders were actually composting their wool, if you can imagine that, because they had no market for it. And so we developed this program, which is a passport program. Fiber artists get a passport. Each page in the passport is a breed page. And what they're asked to do is, with a minimum of 4 ounces of wool, to do a project with each of the breeds that are on our conservation priority list. And so they buy from wool providers that are part of the program. And when they get the wool, they get a sticker. And after they complete 5 or 10 or 20 projects, they get a little, you know, just a token prize or coupons. And it's been an incredible success. We have over 3,000 fiber artists that have become part of this. And wool that was being composted is now selling for the same, if not more, than high-grade merino wool. And so it's been a fabulous success, and people are making money. And when they're making money, that means they're going to breed more animals because it's more profitable for them. And so we're here in Wisconsin to promote the program and connect with some of our members.
So you're saying that there's a lot of these breeds on the conservancy. What are some of those breeds that maybe we could find here in Wisconsin that have gotten a boost from this Shave 'em to Save 'em program?
Yeah, well, here today I was going through the barns and you'll find breeds like Teeswater and Leicester Longwool and Soe in Tunis. We actually have an online breeders and products directory at livestockconservancy.org, and you can go on there and pick whatever breed, or if you just want to find sheep in Wisconsin, just click sheep or the breed you want, and then search your zip code, and it'll show you who's got what. And we also have a thing that you can tick on the page that's Shaven to Saven participants, so you can see which of those sheep breeders are part of that program.
And do you know how many sheep breeders there are in Wisconsin that are part of the program?
Not specifically Wisconsin, but we do have about 300 breeders and resellers around the country. Sometimes breeders don't want to mess with marketing, and so they'll sell their fiber to a fiber mill who will then sell. And so the fiber mill can be part of the program as well.
Jeanette Barringer with the Livestock Conservancy says that they are ecstatic at how this program has worked to support both the producers and the yarn users. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Wanted, more rural veterinarians. How the U.S. Department of Agriculture aims to fix the problem today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins has personally put out a call for new students of veterinary medicine. It seems there's a veterinarian shortage in rural America.
Because of a significant increase in education debt for our veterinarian students compared to their potential earnings, a decline in student desire to practice in rural areas is real. And a rapidly growing companion animal sector, the lack of rural food animal veterinarians is only expected to worsen unless we step in.
Speaking at the Veterinary College at Mississippi State University, Rollins announced the Rural Veterinary Shortage Action Plan, which includes new financial incentives to potential vet students. Rollins says the USDA itself is having problems finding veterinarians to fill its own staffing needs.
We have faced our own challenges just at USDA of competing with private companion animal clinics to hire and retain qualified veterinarians. This inability to fill even our own positions in both rural areas and in the federal government is alarming and threatens our supply chain.
Rollins also says the USDA will work with veterinary schools to recruit more students from rural America. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former ambassador and former White House ethics czar, Norm Eisen. We discuss why the Epstein files matter more broadly for government accountability.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco Fire Products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Poland says several Russian drones entered its airspace and were shot down over its territory. Poland describes the incident as an act of aggression. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
It comes less than a week after Russian President Vladimir Putin traveled to China, showing unity with leaders of China and North Korea. Since that meeting, Russia has staged its largest aerial attack on Ukraine since the war began.
Several European leaders say they think Russia is intentionally escalating the war with Ukraine. The European Union Commission president says she will seek sanctions and a partial trade suspension against Israel over the war in Gaza. Israel, meantime, insisting it had the right to target Hamas leaders in Doha, Qatar. Qatar says it was a violation of international law. The move has drawn widespread condemnation and risks upending ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas. The Supreme Court says it will hear arguments over whether most of the Trump tariffs can remain in place in early November. This is ABC News.
As with